Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank the Lord that you're able to join me today as we've been sharing the principles that were involved in covenant keeping and ministering on a better covenant, which is the new covenant that was established in the blood of Jesus. And there were some fascinating things that we can learn that were important to the culture of that day. Now, we are not into making covenants today, but back in the New Testament or the Old Testament times, covenants were a very common practice, and they were very serious and very formal and very binding. And so I was sharing, and am in the process of sharing, 9 steps that were involved in establishing a covenant. And the first one was an exchange of robes. And we can see, I made reference to it, but let me just share a passage or two from chapter 18 of 1 Samuel. And it says, "Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he, Jonathan, loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him, and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword, and to his bow, and to his girdle." You see, this was one of the things that was done, that in the Old Testament, that robe was a symbol of authority. Jonathan was the son of Saul, son of a king, a prince. And in exchanging of a robe, you're basically pledging all that you are, your total being, your flesh, your life, to another person. And we, of course, saw that enacted in the very act that Jesus made and did as he came down from heaven, laid down his mantle of authority, came down to earth and exchanged the robe that he possessed. Our robes were tainted with sin, and he exchanged those robes for the robe of righteousness. And he stood in our place. Everything he did, beloved, he did for our benefit. And then there was the exchange of belts. And I'm not able to share all of them again. The third was animal sacrifice. The fourth was exchange of blood. The fifth, there was an exchange of names. Remember, God gave a new name to Abram. He changed his name from Abram to Abraham, meaning the father of a multitude. And then, of course, because there was literally an exchange of blood, a shedding of blood, they would cut their palms and draw the covenant. Using a quill pen, they draw some of that blood, and that he actually signed the covenant. They'd put their hands together, and through the mixing of blood, they became blood brothers. And then, of course, because of that, there were permanent scars as a reminder of that covenant. We're speaking in the natural, and of course, Jesus, in his glorified body, still retains the scars that he bore on Calvary for our benefit and for our salvation. And going on now to the seventh step of the covenant, there's an actual giving of the formal terms of the covenant or agreement, if you will. And this is the thing that's so staggering, because it shows how deep and solemn and significant a covenant is. There's an exchange of assets and liabilities involved. Basically, it's a vow saying, all that I have, my assets, are yours. My properties, my money, my possessions are yours. Think of the love and trust that had to go into making a covenant. If you need anything, just ask. At the same time, on the other hand, all my liabilities are yours. In other words, if I get in trouble financially, you'll help me out. And beloved, that's what God did for us. All heaven possesses is ours through the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1 and 3 declares, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings." What did you say, Sister Judith? the word says, all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. He's given us everything that pertains to life, this natural life, and godliness, our spiritual life and walk. Likewise, God possesses all of me. And that's, you see, where sometimes the issue is. God held back nothing. He withheld nothing. He gave heaven's best, Jesus. And are we willing to give our best to him? He doesn't require our shedding of our blood, but he asks that we present our bodies, because that's what we inhabit in this realm. We dwell in earthly tents. He asks us that we offer our bodies a living sacrifice, which Paul says is our reasonable service, because he laid down his life. He held back nothing. And so God asks us that we would give our time, our talents, our monies, our abilities. And as New Testament believers, beloved, Jesus owns everything we have. There's nothing you have that you have not received from God, including your talents, your giftings, your blessings. All right, so that's step number 7, the giving of the terms of the covenant. Boy, how secure is that? Amen. And then step number 8, there's a covenant meal. After completing the above 7 steps, both parties in the Old Testament would sit down for a covenant meal consisting of bread and grapes. And of course, that's the same elements of bread and wine that was used when we partake of the Lord's table. And then, of course, you remember Abraham when he came back, or Abram at that point, when he didn't have his name Abraham. That wasn't until the 15th chapter of Genesis. But when he came back from the battle of the 5 kings, where he rescued Lot and all that he possessed because Lot had been abducted, that he met with Melchizedek, offered bread and wine. And so, and of course, Melchizedek, a foreshadowing of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is going to dwell in Salem, the city of peace, Jerusalem, hallelujah. And so there was that exchange and eating together of a covenant meal. And then finally, historically, which I'd like to share with you, there was a planting of a memorial. It's a common practice even today among Jews that for every little occasion, they'll plant a tree. For the birth of a child, a death, a marriage, a birthday, the plant is considered as a memorial. And of course, a tree is significant because that our Lord, if you will, was planted on a cross. Galatians 3:13, let me turn to that. The word of the Lord says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And I'll read verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. Hallelujah. It was given to the Jews, but Jesus did that so that blessing can come to us as Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Hallelujah. It is only at this point in time when both parties plant a tree that they call each other friends. And in Old Testament terms, the term friend is a covenant term. We use that term very loosely today. In fact, sometimes we just say a friend when really they're no more than an acquaintance. But a beloved, in biblical times, a friend is someone for whom we're ready to lay down our lives. That's how important that word friend is. We, as I say, we can't, that's why it's sometimes a blessing to go back to the historical culture and setting, because we can gain a new understanding. We've lost the meaning and significance of that. A marriage is a covenant. You know, all you have to do is look at the divorce statistics today to see that that is not viewed as a covenant anymore. But in biblical times, beloved, when you were a friend to someone, you were willing to stand by that person no matter what they went through. And that's why Solomon said, there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Jesus is our covenant friend. And of course, in John, if you recall, Jesus no longer calls us servants, but he calls us friends. We are his covenant brothers and sisters. Praise God. And remember the story of the prodigal son? The elder brother got angry when the fatted calf was killed. And what did the father say? He said, "Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine." He could have asked anything he wanted, have anything he wanted. All he had to do was request it of his father. One translation says, "He was moping and complaining, but you never gave me even a skinny goat." Well, and he resented that the fatted calf was killed for his prodigal brother who came back after living a life of dissipation. Beloved, so many who are ignorant of our covenant with God have a goat mentality. If we don't know that prosperity, and I'm not speaking just financial, I'm speaking of the whole man, the whole person, that is our birthright. And if we don't understand that, we'll never be able to enjoy the abundant blessings of our covenant. Ignorance hinders and stops us from receiving the benefits. In Luke 13 and 16, the woman bound for 18 years by a spirit of infirmity, Jesus said, "Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, be loosed from her bond on the Sabbath day?" That term daughter was a covenant title. And remember the blind man that kept crying out to Jesus? He said, "Jesus, thou son of David." He was referencing that covenant relationship. "Have mercy on me." Beloved, we may call ourselves Christian, but if we don't know that prosperity is our birthright, we will never be able to enjoy the covenant right of healing in every area of our lives. Praise God. Well, these several days I've shared with you the 9 steps involved in making a covenant, and on tomorrow's broadcast, as we conclude, we'll be looking at some of the covenant benefits. I pray that you'll be able to join me as we conclude this message on a better covenant. Thank you so much for joining me, sharing your time with me today. And if at any point you ever miss a broadcast and wish to rehear, please go to our website, www.unveilchrist.org. You can click on the broadcast and listen anytime at your convenience. They're archived there for the last several years. Praise God. Also, I encourage you to write, share your prayer requests. The announcer will give our contact information. I love you. Pray for you every day. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.